Tonight, Ephesians chapter number 4. We've been working our way through the book of Ephesians, our riches in Christ. We've learned that the first three chapters deal with our spiritual blessings, our wealth as believers. It's what we believe. It's our doctrine. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. He's blessed with all spiritual blessings. We were dead in sins. We've been made alive in Christ. You come to chapter 4, he says, now I want you to live like it. I want your life to be different. By the way, when you're saved, your life is different, right? And he said it ought to flesh that out in how we live. The first last four chapters has to do with not what we believe, but how we're to behave. What we believe will determine how we behave. That's what he's saying. Look, if you would, chapter 4, verse number 17. He said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. That word testify is a divine appeal. He's saying, the Lord's appealing to you that you henceforth, from this point forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Gentiles refers to the unsaved around us, around them, in the vanity of their mind, the futility of their mind, chasing that's empty and futile in life. No meaning, no purpose, nothing lasting. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, the hardness of their heart. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, all kinds of filthy living, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know, sin always leads to more sin. A greater desire for sin. That's that word greediness. Verse 20, but ye, he's talking to us. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Look at verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. I want to draw your attention again to that verse. Neither give place to the devil. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that we have an enemy, that we're in a warfare. The Bible calls Satan our adversary. He set himself against us. Before we were saved, we were the enemies of God. But now that we're saved, now Satan has become our enemy. And by the way, he ought to be your enemy. He ought to be your enemy. He seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy. Tomorrow, our testimonies damage our future, destroy marriages, families, churches. He will stoop to anything, stop at nothing. Destroy our life and hinder our effectiveness and usefulness for God. I draw your attention to that word place. Neither give place to the devil. Has the idea, we get our English word topography. It talks about the ground or territory. Now we're talking in a spiritual connotation here. And he's saying that Satan, if we're not careful, will take advantage of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. He will work in our lives that he gains a toehold, a beachhead, an advantage on us. He takes ground from us. It's been conquered by the Lord Jesus. All of us have given ground to Satan. Do you know that? We have. That word give means to hand over, to surrender. What it means is that Satan can't take any ground, any spiritual ground in our lives that we do not give him. We do not give him. That means we've allowed him to have opportunity in our lives to work his destructive devices. We've been talking about this matter of taking back lost ground. Taking back lost ground. Let's pray together, and we're going to finish what we started this morning. Lord, we thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord, that you teach us how to grow in Christ, how to war against our enemy, the devil, our own wicked flesh, the world, its system. Not the world of people, Lord, but the world of philosophies and system that is anti-God, that fights against that's truth and seeks to rob our loyalty from the Savior. Lord, I pray you'll teach us tonight, help us to respond to you. Lord, grow us in your grace tonight and help us to be more like your Son. Lord, help us to be less and less of who we were and more of who you want us to be. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Taking back lost ground. All of us has lost ground in our lives to Satan. We've allowed him to have opportunity to work his destructive devices. We've learned if we're going to take back lost ground, then we must learn to resist the devil. We saw that in verse number 27 where he said, neither give place to the devil. It's a divine imperative. God's not suggesting. He's not saying, I think it would be a good idea. No, He's commanding us not to allow Satan to have opportunity to work his destructive devices in our lives, our marriages, our families, our church. A young person, a young adult, your future. As a matter of fact, if we're not careful, we become comfortable in our Christian lives. We begin to operate on cruise control. We're sort of cruising through life. Everything's okay. Can I tell you, when you and I go on cruise control spiritually, Satan is at work in our lives. We're going to give him opportunity to work and gain an advantage in our lives to work destructive devices. We're in a battle. We're in a battlefield, and far too many of God's soldiers are asleep in the barracks when they ought to be out on the battlefield. We ought to be sober, vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember, we're not to be on the defense. We're to be on the offense. We're to resist him, that we're to stand against him, to withstand, to oppose, having done all to stand. That's what he's saying. Taking back lost ground. Matter of fact, we say no to Satan by saying yes to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. Every day of our lives, we're going to have to go through choice of saying yes to God and no to Satan. Do you realize that when you say yes to God, it by default says no to the one who seeks opportunity in our lives? Submit to God. There's going to be opportunity. There's going to be times tomorrow that you're going to have to make a decision in your own personal life. Am I going to submit to the Lord? Am I going to submit to the temptation that goes on in my life to be less than who I should be and ought to be as a child of God? He said, don't walk like you used to walk. You're different now. Amen. Resist the devil. Number two, remove the sin. Remove the sin. Look back up in verse number 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. So often, Christian, we're walking around in the rotting grave clothes of the old nature, the old flesh, the old sinful nature that was true of us before we were saved. And we allow the old sinful habits and attitudes and actions to surface in our lives. And we allow those grave clothes, so to speak, to be evident in our lives as we allow what we used to be to come out of our lives. You remember what we said this morning, as one writer said, that filth is filth, regardless of who wears the dirty garments. Remember, said, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't go back to being what you used to be and doing like you used to do. Don't walk in step with the world. Dear Christian, listen, if you're going to be faithful to God, you will have to be out of step with this world. You cannot walk in step with this world and resist the devil in your life. You cannot do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. I love verse number 20. He said, but you've not so learned Christ. What he's saying is that what he mentions verses 17 through 19, we looked at this morning, that when he was describing the unsaved world around us and what we were before the Lord came into our lives, and he tells us to put it off. And that idea of putting off has the idea of continual. I put it off. Listen, by the way, we are dead in the sense that the old man, we're old by virtue of the new birth, and we've been made new. We were crucified with Christ. The old man is rendered in operative in our lives. He does not have to control me. I do not have to be controlled by a semi-sinful self. I do not have to do that. And I'm to be putting it off, putting them off, putting off like a wardrobe of clothing. Bad habits, bad attitudes, sinful thoughts, sinful words, sinful actions. He talks about that a little bit later on. And it's a continual put off, put off, put off. That's what he's saying. And to put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's saying that who we were is not Christ. And that's not to characterize those who follow Him. The idea of learn there is an increase in knowledge. The more we learn of Christ, the more we become like Christ. That's why you'll never reach your full potential as a Christian apart from daily time in the Word of God and feeding on the truths of the Word. For it's in this book that I learn Christ. And as I understand who He is and I seek to walk and follow Him, the Bible says that we're changed into the same image, even as by the glory of the Lord. Aren't you glad that, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that a blessing that we're changed? We don't have to be what we used to be. Christians, listen, maybe you're struggling in an area of life. Maybe we mentioned getting beyond the altar of not just confessing the sin, but removing the sin. Doing what's necessary to get it out of our lives, to remove the temptation, to not make provision for our flesh. We talked about that. Can I tell you, there's times that Christians become so dominated by sin that they need help. Don't ever fail to seek. Don't ever be afraid to seek help in your life spiritually. Don't ever be afraid to do that. Can I promise you, our pastoral staff that works alongside of me, whenever we work with people or we try to help people, can I promise you that we don't characterize people. We're all fellow strugglers. Isn't that true? We all have a wicked flesh. We all have things that need to be put out of our lives, and there's times that we need extra help. And if that's ever true of you, don't hesitate to come. It's not going to change how we feel about you or what we think of you or how we interact with you, because we all need victory in our lives, don't we? So number one, resist the devil. Number two, remove the sin. Number three, renew the mind. Renew the mind. Look, if you would, verse number 23. And he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Can I tell you, there's a problem with our mind. It is. How we think. Paul said back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2 that before we were saved, we walked according to the course of this world. What that means is that our minds during our unsaved time was being programmed by the thinking of this world. Can I tell you, Christian, if you're not careful, you're still being programmed by the thinking of this world. We are. The world gets on us and how it thinks and how it functions and how it views life. And he's saying, you not so learn Christ. That's what he's saying. Our minds have been, we think wrong. We do. It needs to be renewed, to restore to a former state, to renovate the mind. The Bible says in Romans 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the world through its pressures and its philosophies and its thinking to press you into its mold, to make you like it. Don't do that. No, he's saying be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what he's saying. To renew our minds. When you renovate something, now some of you guys are renovators, all right? I told my wife, if God hadn't called me to preach, we'd have starved. I can't build a birdhouse and make all four sides fit. Just not my forte. But you guys that you do this stuff, you understand. You're gonna renovate something, and you know that's what HGTV's all about. That is a deceptive thing. To give ladies ideas for their husbands to do. You ever notice that? I try to outlaw it from my TV, but it stays on there for whatever reason. You got to tear out the old and you got to replace it with the new. Tear out the old and replace it with the new. In order to renew our minds, we have to renew the thinking of the old life with a new way of thinking. How do you do that? By putting off the old way we thought and putting on a new way of thinking. Look at verse number 24. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our minds are like a computer. Input equals output. You put the right things in, you get the right things out. You put the wrong things in, you're going to get the wrong things out. Can I tell you why there's worldliness among the people of God today? We're putting the wrong things in. We're putting the wrong things in. We are. We're allowing the world to control how we think, how we raise our children, how we're married and interact in our marriages, how we lead our families and how our families function and operate. Matter of fact, if you start listening to the world's philosophies, you don't even know what a family is anymore. With the latest speech by our president, and he's talking about you can marry anybody you love. That means now we've opened up the Pandora's box. It's not just man with man, woman with woman. You now marry your brother or sister. You marry your dog. I love my dog. I want to marry it. You open up. Whenever you leave Bible truth, you open up a Pandora's box that leads to destruction in a society. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll allow the thinking of the world, because they can couch it in terms that are warm and fuzzy and sweet and cute. And listen, it affects the minds of our children more than anything in our young people. And it seems like that the pastor's harsh and mean and hateful. And no, it's not that at all. God's not hateful. God's not mean. The pastor, no, it's not that. God's trying to keep us from that. That will destroy us. That's what he's trying to do. Amen. Because he knows what's best for us. God knows better than man. I remember talking to one of the senators staffers and dealing with this thing where they're voting on changing the marriage laws in America and codifying them into law that now would transform the marriage laws from no longer being between a man and a woman on a national, federal level. And I was talking to one of our senator staffers about that, and many of you did it. You got letters back in the mail that everybody, our Supreme Court ruling, that's what they said, that everybody should have the right and equal opportunity to marry who, whatever, and laid it all out there, and they said, well, the Supreme Court said, when was the Supreme Court the final authority? I thought God was the final authority. We're deviating from what God says, and when you do that, then there's going to be problems in a nation, and that's also true in lives individually. When we deviate from the truth of God, it brings destructive devices into our lives, and it gives Satan opportunity to work. It does. It's not mean. It's truth. It's truth. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I preached to teenagers, and when I was young, if you had the food pyramids. I don't think they teach it that way anymore. You had the food pyramids, and you had to eat, you know, we talked about a balanced diet. And I thought to myself, and the teachers would say, now, boys and girls, you are what you eat. And I thought to myself today, if that was true, then we would be, as a teenager, we'd be a bag of Doritos. You know, or a pepperoni pizza or something like that. You know, if we ate, you know. When I was a kid, you know, my grandma, we would go to her house a couple times a week, and I mean, it would be a spread of meat and potatoes and vegetables and biscuits. And you know, I don't know any better at that point. I want a pepperoni pizza. I don't want a green bean. Now I want a green bean. How many know what I'm talking about, you know? You want the meat and potato stuff. But God said you are what you think. That's why the Bible says to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, fellas. We have the wrong thoughts, it'll come out in our lives. The Bible says out of it are the issues of life. Whatever I attend to in my mind will eventually come out in my life. That's what he's saying. If we attend to the wrong things long enough, it will begin to characterize our lives. It will begin to come out in our lives, and we'll live it out. We'll flesh it out. And when we flesh out the wrong things, it brings destructive things in our lives. It does. Christian, there's a battle going on for the control of your mind. Satan knows if he can control your mind, he can control your life. Why is it that the world wants the kindergartner? Why is it that they want to do the readings? Why is it there that they want to begin teaching them about life at that age from a worldly perspective? Why do they do that? Because they know that mind is pliable and it's moldable, and so they want to work at a young age. They want to do that because they know if they can control how that child thinks, then they can control them down the road when they become adults. Right. Satan knows this. If he can control how you think, young man, young lady, he'll control your life. He will. I'm not saying that all social media is wrong. I'm not saying that. I think there's good things with social media. I believe there's more gospel been preached in the world since COVID because every church now has Facebook services and every church has live stream. Before it was just a few of us that, and now everybody does. There's probably been more gospel preached. There's a platform there. There's grandparents to keep up with grandchildren reaching out to missionaries. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm talking about the application of it. And when you take in a diet of that's wrong with people who claim to be your friends, but they're not really your friend. They're trying to engineer how you think. There's where the problem comes in. If you think right thoughts you think right thoughts by thinking God's thoughts. God's mind infused into our minds. It's called the mind of Christ. To think as He thinks. To see life from His perspective. This new way of thinking leads to a new way of living. Instead of being conformed, we're now transformed. That's why Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That renewed is the tense of the verb, is a continual process, day by day, moment by moment, putting out wrong thoughts, putting in right thoughts. That's what it is. It's a continual renewing of the mind. And it's almost like every time a rock of God's Word goes into the mind, it sloshes out the mud of the philosophies of the world and puts into my mind a right thinking so that there can be a right mindset and there can be a right life. And I can put off the old and I can put on the new. Because you know what? You don't know what the old is if you don't know what God says. And we don't know what the new is if we don't know what God says. The Christian life's not a creed, it's not a code of conduct, it's not a set of principles. It's more than that. It's a relationship with a living person. You've not so learned Christ. It's Christ living in us and through us, bringing His truth to bear upon how we think and how we live, so that we no longer go our own way, but now that we go His way. The renewing of our mind. You will never take back lost ground if you don't resist the devil, if you don't remove the sin, if you don't renew the mind. You say, "Preacher, why is it you preachers are always getting up there and harping on reading the Bible?" Because you can't renew your mind without this book. Thy word is truth. Rightly divided, rightly understood, rightly applied to our lives, brings lasting change. He's going to say over in chapter 5 in verse 26, talking about the washing of the water by the Word of God has a cleansing effect on our lives to flush out the sin and wrong philosophies and wrong thinking and put in the right thoughts. Number four, very quickly tonight, not only resist the devil, not only remove the sin, not only renew the mind, but reclothe the life. Reclothe the life. You notice he uses this phrase, put off and put on. It's the idea of taking off one wardrobe, one suit of clothes, and putting on a new suit of clothes. That's the idea. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. Notice what he says in verse 24, that you put on the new man, who we are in Christ. The old man is not who we are anymore. That's not who you are. You're new. We've been made new. There's a new you the moment you get saved. There's a new me the moment I was saved. When God saves us, the new birth, being born again, born from above, we have a new heart, a new mind, a new will. We can know God and love God and obey God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what he's saying. We're now to live in that newness of life. Can I just say something? And this is where I believe a fallacy comes in. Much preaching that I hear, it's almost as the new is by default. That if you're saved, this is what you'll automatically be. If that was true, then we wouldn't be admonished to put off and put on. It would already be put on. I've been made new. Now, I'm to live out that newness. That's what he's saying, by putting on the new man. It's a choice. Did you notice those are verbs? Put off, put off, put off, put off. And he tells us what we're to do. Put away lying, verse 25. Don't give place to the devil, verse 27. Be angry and sin not, verse 26. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, verse 29. Let all bitterness and wrath, a bitter heart and wrath and clamor, evil speaking, be put away. Do you see that? With all malice, verse 20, 32. What do you put on? You put on kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving one another. You see that? Put off, put on, put off, put on. There it is. It's very simple. It's Christ, Christ's life flowing through us by His Spirit as we yield ourselves in obedience to Him. Some people preach of it as if it's almost mystical. It's not. It's very practical. It's very down to earth. It's real life living. That's what it is. We've been told how we're to walk. Look back chapter 4, verse 1. Would you do that real quickly? Remember we were preaching on this, and he said in verse number 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, I urge you, that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, the station, wherewith you're called, being called a Christian, a child of God, a follower of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's saying. Walk worthy. Our lives are to reflect the calling in our life. That's what he's saying. Then he tells us how not to walk. We've been preaching a lot on that today, haven't we? Verse number 17. He said that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. We learn that the very fact that Paul says walk not means that there's the potential in every Christian's life to walk as the unsaved walk and live as the unsaved lives. And he said from this point, don't live that way anymore. That's what he's saying. But then watch this. Remember, he describes the Christian life as taking a walk. A walk, our lifestyle, how we live. And he told us how we're to walk and then how we're not to walk. Look if you would, over in chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us. Look down at verse number 8. For you were sometimes darkness, that's who you were, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. There it is. I'm to reflect light in my life. I'm to prove, verse 10 of chapter 5, what's acceptable in the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them through right living. That doesn't mean on the job that I look at the guy who spent the night at the bar and say, "Let y'all quit that drinking." That ain't going to accomplish anything. No, what you do is you love that man. You share Christ with that individual. And you reflect what right is. And you live the light. I'm living out my life in Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't verbally witness. But can I tell you, friend, that a verbal witness is much more powerful when there's a life witness to go along with it. Light. Light exposes darkness. And when you live right, it'll automatically expose the darkness. The world knows the difference, and so do we. Look what he says in verse number 14. Awake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We're to walk in wisdom. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Why, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the word of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. And so he tells us what we're to put off, what we're to put on. He tells us. You see, if you're going to, the new man, unlike the rotting grave clothes of the old man, is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm to live in the newness of life. I'm to take back lost ground. You see, we lose ground to the devil through sinful habits and attitudes and actions, and we give him opportunity in our lives to work and to take control of our lives. And we want to take back that lost ground by putting off the grave clothes of the old man and putting on the spiritual clothes of the new man. Sinful thought comes in right here. How do you do that, preacher? Listen, stay with me just for a moment. Sinful thought comes into our mind, a wicked thought. All of us face that. There's not a person in this room that you would want on these screens to flash what you've thought this week. Not one of us. Not one of us. A sinful thought comes through our mind. We ought to stop right then and say, Lord, that's the old man. That's not who I am in you. That's the old man. That's the old way of thinking. Confess it to the Lord when we dwell on it. Confess it to the Lord. Lord, forgive me. For Jesus' sake, forgive that. Lord, I'm right now going to put on the new man. I'm going to fill the vacuum now. Put off. Don't leave a vacuum. Put on. With right thoughts, like things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Think on these things, God says. You see, you don't just leave a void in your mind. You put out the wrong thought, you put in the right thought. That's what you do. A sinful word comes out of our life, out of our mouths. Angerness comes out of our heart. Bitterness resides in our heart. Well, that's not right. That's the old man. That's the old man. That's not who I am in Christ. That's not who I am. Shouldn't characterize me. That's the old man. Lord, forgive me. And then put on the new man. Fill the vacuum. Fill the vacuum. That's how we need to live every day of our lives, every moment of our lives. Put off, put on, put off, put on, put off, put on. That's spiritual growth. See, here's the danger. The grave clothes of our old life, because many of us, we were saved. Some were saved at a very early age. Some people He saves out of sin. Some people He saves from sin. But all of us have dirty grave clothes in our lives. We all have a wicked flesh. And the danger is that we get comfortable. It feels so natural. It feels so comfortable. That's why somebody with a temper problem say, well, that's just how my family is. Well, that may be how your earthly family is, but that's not how the heavenly family is supposed to be. That might be what sin made me, but that's not what Christ. We've not so learned Christ. You see the difference? You see the difference? It's not who we are in Him, been made new. The old sinful nature, because it was habit. Habit. It was just natural to come out of our lives. We have to be careful we don't get comfortable with it. We recognize it for what it is. That we resist the devil, that we remove the sin, we renew the mind and reclothe the life and we live like it. It's not a once in a while thing, it's an everyday thing. It's a moment by moment thing, continually putting off the old and putting on the new. They're Christians, and I'm fearful that they're waiting on God to do this for them. God is not going to knock. He's not going to slap the device in your hand that has pornography on it out of your hand. He's not going to do that. God's not going to knock the bottle away from a person's lips that's saved, that's drinking alcohol. He's not going to do that. You see, we make a choice. We make a choice. There were Christians that decided to sleep in this morning all over America instead of going to church. God doesn't knock them out of bed and make them go to church. It's a choice. It's a choice. See, some people feel like that they're just waiting on God to, and they're begging God to do it. They're praying fervently. They're at altars begging God all the time. God, deliver me. God, deliver me. God, deliver me. You know what God's saying? I've already delivered you. Now live in the victory. That's what He's saying. You've already been delivered. You're just choosing to live like the old man. No amount of begging, no amount of pleading is going to change that. God's not just going to zap you one day and you're spiritual. No, God said, here's what I want you to do. You've not learned Christ. Don't you live like you used to live. I've made you new. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You have the Word of God, my Word, in your hand. Now I want you to put off the old man and I want you to put on the new every day of your lives to make a conscious choice to determine that you're going to say yes to me and no to sin and no to Satan and no to self. That, listen, because when you and I do that, our lives are going to be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. It's a process. That is the doctrine of sanctification. Of becoming holy. Spiritual growth in our lives usually is not very dramatic. I know that when God saved me, He cleaned up my mouth. There were some things that dropped out of my life after I was saved, and I'm thankful for it. But can I be honest with you, there's areas of my life that I'm still struggling with 37 years later. And if you're honest, you are too. Satan sets up strongholds in our lives. When we give place to him, we give ground to the devil, he sets up strongholds in our lives to work his destructive devices. People have emotional strongholds, spiritual strongholds, mental strongholds that Satan sets up in their lives. And he begins to work his destructive devices. I want you to listen to what Paul says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know who pulls down the strongholds? You do. I do. What we want God to do is just smash them all out of my life, God, and make me perfect. And God doesn't do that. What God does is He gives you His Holy Spirit, and He's going to talk about that in chapter 5 and verse 18 of being filled with the Spirit in every day of our lives, tomorrow, tonight when you get home, tomorrow, Tuesday when you go to work, Tuesday when you go to work, young people, Tuesday when you go back to school. The temptations are going to come. They're going to be there. Satan's going to begin working his destructive... Matter of fact, he's even doing it tonight. By the way, he's doing it right now in church. Did you know that? Because some people, are just you just cut it right off. And God's saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the weapons that I've given you. I want you to take the spiritual resources that I've given you, and in my power... smash the strongholds. Now, I understand God ultimately does it, but you have to make the choice to use the weapons. You have to make the choice to put off. You have to make the choice to put on. I have to make the choice to put off. I have to make the choice to put on. It can be as simple as what I allow to remain on my TV screen. It can be as simple as what video we choose to watch on YouTube. It can be as simple as what books that we feed on and we read. I'm not saying everything out there is wrong, but we do recognize what is wrong, don't we? And when we allow that to remain in our lives, it brings destructive devices. How we think, what we say, how we respond to people. Do you realize that there are people that they're so bitter, they're callous to their bitterness. They don't even recognize they're bitter. They've been bitter for so long. They've been wearing the grave clothes of bitterness for so long it feels natural to them. And they're justified.
We're talking about believers. We are. We're talking about Christians. We are. And what we have to do is allow the Holy Spirit, when the light exposes the darkness in our lives, and we see what it is, to say, God, that's not who I am in you. That's the old man. The old man's dead. It doesn't have to control me. It doesn't have to characterize who I am. I don't have to live that way anymore. God, I'm going to put on the new man. I'm going to live in obedience to you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Submit. Say yes to God. No to sin. No to self. No to Satan. That is the lifestyle of a godly Christian. It's not checking off a list of boxes. That's flesh. It's through the pages of this book, allowing it to transform how I think, how I see life, who I am, realizing that's not who I've learned. That's not what I've learned in Christ. And Lord, I want to be like you. I don't want to live in the old man. I want to live in the new man that's created in righteousness and true holiness. Boys and young men and young ladies, you're going to determine what you're going to do at school on Tuesday. You are. You will. You going to laugh the dirty joke? Or are you going to walk away from it? Are you going to talk like your friends talk? Or are you going to talk different? Are you going to think like the people think on TikTok and Instagram? And I don't even know the names of all the social media sites you're on. Brother Lane was preaching. He would be able to call them all off. He's the youth guy, not me. I couldn't call them all off. But you know what I'm talking about. You got to make a choice. Put off the old. Put on the new. Put off the old, put on the new. Take back lost ground. And maybe tonight it begins by recognizing what's in your life and in my life for what it is and saying, oh God, forgive me. That's not who I am in you. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. I'm new in you. I'm new in you. I'm going to put off that old man, God, in your power, your strength, your ability. I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to put on the new. You're saying, preacher, that's all I'm going to do. Precisely. Precisely. It's a constant, constant, constant choice. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Do you see it? Do you see it? It's how God wants us to live. Now let's respond to Him. Let's take back some lost ground in our lives. Let's let the Holy Spirit change some attitudes and some actions in our lives and some habits and some things of the old grave clothes. Let's do that. And respond to the Lord. And let Him change us into the same image of Christ as we put on the new man. A conscious choice to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's bow our heads in prayer.